محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. Inspire your hearts with the loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Three hundred years ago, an English mathematician by the name of Isaac Newton formulated three laws of motion and gravitation. The third law of motion states that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, equal in force and opposite in direction. 1100 years before Newton, the Holy Quran mentions the same law of motion, but with major differences. The Holy Quran says this law of motion and reaction does not only apply to physics, it also applies to moral and spiritual dimensions in human life too. If you read the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 99, this is probably one of the most consequential chapters in the Quran. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُلْزَالَهَا speaks about the last chapter of our life. The chapter ends by saying, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهْ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهْ. The act of goodness, an atom act of goodness bears goodness, and an atom of evil act shall bear evil act. This is something mandatory, inevitable, inescapable, and it happens to all. Another verse in Surah Al-Isra, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. One day, the commander of the faithfuls, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam, turned to his companions and he said, I never did good to any person in my life. They were shocked. They said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, your life is nothing but goodness to others. He said, read the Quran. The Quran says, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you do good to others, you are doing good to your own self. The third one in Surah Fussilat, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ When you do good, it goes back to you. وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. If you do iniquity and evil, again it goes back to you. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. God does not wrong His creatures. And there are plenty of verses. The Holy Quran is replete with these verses. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. On the Day of Judgment, some commentators believe that this particular verse in Surah Yasin applies to this life and the hereafter. You reap what you sow. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Even in the scriptures, the Bible says, you eat the fruit of your work. And again, the scripture says that there is no curse without a cause. It reminds me of a story that I read, a very interesting story. A man and his son went for mountain hiking. While they were hiking, the son, young son, he slid and he fell many feet down or many yards, and he was entangled in the brush. He was so frightened, he started calling for help. He shouted, "Somebody help me!" He heard the voice saying, "Somebody help me!" The same tone, the same energy, the same accent, Lebanese accent. Then he said, "Who are you?" The same voice answered, "Who are you?" The man, the boy, said to him, "You are a fool." And the voice answered, "You are a fool." So by this time, the father reached his son and he saved him, got him out of the brush. And here the son turned to his father asking him, "Father, who is he?" The father said to him, this is called echo, but in fact this is called life too. This is the reality of life. Whatever you send out, it comes back to you. If you send good words, it comes back to you good. If you send bad words, evil actions, you receive evil actions and evil words. There is a well-established logical maxims provides الْمَعْلُولُ لَا يَنْفَكُ عَنْ عِلَّتِهِ. When there is a cause, a reason for something, then the effect is going to follow that cause. For the effect always follows the cause. Always. Without any break. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Tonight I'd like to discuss, in such holy nights, the moral implications of sins. Sometimes we commit a sin and we think we were hiding, it was in the dark, me and another person, no third person involved. But this trivial sin that you think it is a small and a trivial, it's going to have a long-lasting effect on your life. Long-lasting effect. Every moral act is going to bear moral fruit. And every immoral act is going to bear immoral outcome. And this is in the Quran, this is in the Bible, this is in all divine books, and this is in the tradition of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our noble Imam, sallu alayhim bi'ala aswatikum. Here, the Quran says to us, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Of course, the return of goodness is nothing but goodness. The seventh Imam, Al-Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, says, هَذَا يَنْطَبِقُ عَلَى الْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. This divine law applies to both the believer and non-believer. Believer and non-believer. An act of goodness, when it is done, it bears good fruits, regardless of who did it. regardless of his or her religious, philosophical affiliation or orientation. It doesn't matter. It's like the perfume. When you apply perfume to yourself, when you wear perfume, you're going to smell good, regardless whether you purchased this legally or you stole this. It has nothing to do with the one who is bearing it or carrying it. Because the act of goodness originates, the goodness originates in the act itself, not the bearer of the act. It has nothing to do who is carrying it. The act of goodness itself carries the seed of goodness by itself. It doesn't matter whether I carry it or you carry it, a believer in God carries that, or a non-believer of God in God carries that. ينطبق على البر والفجر. A lady asked me the other night, how about those who do good but they disbelieve in God? Are they going to receive a return? Definitely they're going to receive a return. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah said, فَمَنْ whoever. Not necessarily to be a Muslim. Allah returned the goodness to them, even if they disbelieve in God. And a good believer in God, if he commits an act of aggression or injustice or iniquity, he is going to experience the suffering of it. Even though he stands in the middle of the night and faces Allah in Salatul Layl. If he does not repent, he is going to experience the outcome of his evil. It works both ways. It works in acts of kindness, goodness, godliness, wholesomeness, and also it acts with iniquity, injustice, evil. It acts both ways. Let me tell you something very important here. Ethicists, the scholars of ethics, they contend that man not only passes down to his generation the physical DNA, like his eyes color, his hair color, his size, not only the physical DNA, a man passes down to his next generation, to his children and grandchildren, and probably the second and third and fifth generation, his moral, spiritual, and even emotional DNA. What does that mean? If you see today a person who is courageous, but next to him, a person who is coward. If you see a person who is extremely generous, but next to him someone who is extremely mean and miserly. Do not look just at the family and the environment that surrounds them. There is something else, there is another hidden element contributes to these tendencies, to these mindsets, to these behaviors. And that is the DNA map. The moral DNA map. Not the physical one. The moral one. And the Bible and the Quran both, they are replete with verses that the iniquity of the father could be passed down to 3, 4, 5 generations. This is called the moral and spiritual DNA. So it could be a generational curse or a generational blessing, depending on you. So when you become a father or a mother, be very careful. Not only are you going to affect your life, you are not an individual anymore. And this is the advice I give to my brothers and sisters at the time of marriage. I tell them, listen, although you think because you live in America you are a free person, you focus on your individuality. You don't want your mom or your dad to interfere in your life. You tell them, I can find the right partner for myself because she wants to live with me, not with you. That's right, perfectly right. But remember, anything happens in the family, any behavior from you or your wife is going to affect the entire family. Not the entire family at the present, sometimes 20, 30, 40 years down the road. the next generations, multiple generations, are going to be affected by a single act of either goodness or evil. This is the fallout of the act. It's going to pass down. And I have hundreds of examples tonight to offer you. Maybe sometimes you don't reap the fruit of your goodness, something that you did, you don't see the result of it. Maybe sometimes you do something good here in Dearborn, 30 years later your kids, your grandchildren in Lebanon are going to see the result. This is what the Quran tells us. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. In Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates for us the story of Al-Khidr and Musa alayhim as-salam. In this story, Musa alayhi as-salam asked Al-Khidr to be with him for a while, to get inspired by him and learn from him. So Al-Khidr said to him, I agree that you follow me, but I ask you one thing, not to open your mouth. Not to interject, not to ask me anything until حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Wait until I give you the answer. Be patient. The student has to be patient. When you follow a wise person, do not complain. Do not keep asking him why this, why that. Wait. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ. The city of Nasr in Palestine, استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه. They were so hungry because of a long journey. They came to the city of Nasr in Palestine. They asked the inhabitants of the city for some food. They refused to give them food. But here, while they were walking there, he saw a wall which was about to collapse and fall down. So Al-Khidr decided to erect the wall, reconstruct the wall. Musa was amazed. This city did not receive us well. They were rude to us. Why do you serve them? He said, listen, I'll tell you the answer later. And then Allah says in verse 82, Surah Al-Kahf. أما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يستخرج كنزهما. Their father was a nice father. The story of the wall, there was a treasure hidden underneath that wall. And they were still kids. The father was a noble father. Allah wanted for the kids to grow up and then they find that treasure. So I wanted to protect the treasure. This is why I reconstructed the walls. Why? Not because the people were good, because their father, who probably passed away 20 or 30 years before, more or less, we don't know about it. He was a noble man. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Allah says, because the father was a nice father, a kind father, who did good to the people around him, we took care of his kids. You want people to take care of your kids after we die? They don't become humiliated by people. Take care of people's kids. Take care of people's orphans. Be kind to them. When you do an act of kindness and goodness in the society, this will be reserved for you. Maybe you are not going to see it during your lifetime, but your kids are going to experience it. Nothing is going to be wasted. When you deposit an act of goodness in God's account, in God's bank account, it's going to be multiplied. God is going to invest that. Nothing is going to go unnoticed. So this is one story. The father did good. His kids, they reaped the benefits. Another story from the history of the Arabs. One of the governors of one of the provinces in the Muslim world invited a man to his house. or probably to his palace, to dine with him. So when they were sitting at the table, were about to eat, they put the food on the table, and it was time to eat. The man, the guest, looked at the food. There were a couple of quails at the table, two birds. So the man, when he looked at these two birds, he burst into laughter. He started laughing loud. The emir, the prince, the governor turned to him. He said, "What's wrong? Why do you laugh?" He said, "There is a very interesting story here. I remembered it just right now." "What is it? Can you share it with us?" "Yes, absolutely, I'll share it with you." He said, 30 years ago, during my young years, when I was youth and powerful, I was a highway robber. Good profession. Highway robber. So I used to intercept caravans, business caravans, and rob them and steal everything they had and sometimes destroy them, and you know. One day, a caravan was passing by with a good man in it. The good businessman was owning this caravan. I intercepted the caravan, and me and my men, we attacked their group and we robbed them of everything. We stripped them of even their dress. When we were about to leave, I decided to kill the businessman. He pleaded to me. He said, "Please, you took everything. You took my money, you took the goods, you took my dress. Leave me alone. I have kids, small kids. I don't want them to be orphaned. Please." He kept asking me, "Please," imploring me. I said no. I became very arrogant, merciless, and I decided to kill him. While I was in the process of killing and he realized that there is no way out of it, he turned to some of the heights and hills, nearby hills. There were two birds standing there, two quails standing there. He shouted, "O birds, ishhada alayhi annahu qatili. Testify one day on this man, on this murderer, that he is killing me now." And the man continues to say, "Now that I looked at these two birds, I remembered the stupidity of that man 30 years ago. He turned to birds and he asked the birds to witness on me. To witness on me. What a stupid man was that." Suddenly the emir shouted. He said, "You are the stupid man. Wallahi laqad shahidata alayk." Today, 30 years later, today they testified on you right now, and I am going to take revenge. And he ordered to behead the man and kill the man. 30 years later. 30 years later, nobody was in the desert except two birds. But look at God's calculation. Nobody was there, but Allah was there. People were not there. Allah is the witness. Inna rabbaka labil mirsaq. Allah says, I lay in wait for every zalim, every wrongdoer, every dictator. Every dictator. Last year, who could have believed that a tyrant like Saddam Hussein will be brought in disgrace? And he would be executed by a bunch of homeless people, poor people. They were not even in power. Inna rabbaka labil mirsat. In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. Wa in asa'tum falah. Nothing will go unnoticed, brothers and sisters. Review your life now. Review your actions and your behavior now. If you are involved today, tonight, tomorrow, in an act of iniquity, if you are doing injustice, wronging someone, especially someone who does not have an attorney, cannot hire an attorney, someone who cannot go to the court, someone who has no family here, someone who is not from, let's say, Bint Jbeil, or Tabneen, or Karbala, he does not have a big family, someone who is alone, be very careful. Be very careful of that. This is even more dangerous. A man comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says to him, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, kam bayna as-sama'i wal-ard? Can you tell me the distance between earth and moon, earth and heaven? Imam Ali answered him a very good answer, very sharp answer. He said to him, da'watu mazloom, da'watu mazloom. How long it takes for the call, for the cry of an oppressed person? 1 second, 2 seconds, just to say, Ya Allah. It will reach Allah immediately. It reaches Allah immediately. Be very careful. إِيَّاكَ وَظُلْمَ مَنْ لَا يَجِدُ عَلَيْكَ نَاصِرًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Be very careful not to wrong a person that he has no person other than Allah. He has everything. When he has Allah, he has the best attorney in town. He does not need an attorney. Allah will stand next to him. These are the moral implications of sins. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, Mufaddal ibn Umar, one of his disciples by the name of Mufaddal, Imam says to him, Ya Mufaddal, ittaqi al-dhunub wa hadhirha shi'atana. Beware of sins. And when you go back home, tell our followers, those who love Ahlul Bayt, those who follow Ahlul Bayt, tell them to be aware of sins. فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيُصَابُ بِالسُّقْمِ فِي جَسَدِهِ وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهِ. A person may experience sickness, not because he's not leading a healthy life, but because he has committed a sin. وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيُحْرَمُ مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهِ. A person, his business goes down, not because the economy is bad, but because he committed a sin. He loses his money and his business. وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَتُصِيبُهُ الْمَعَرَّةُ مِنَ السُّلْطَانِ. And somebody could go to jail, not because he did something wrong. وَمَا ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهِ. This is a recipe of the punishment, just a recipe, an appetizer here. This is a red flag warning that wake up. We have to wake up. And then Al-Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam, another hadith. He says, Ya Bunay man kashafa an hijab al-nas in kashafat awratu baytih. Do you remember the third law of motion? For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is exactly the meaning of this hadith. يَا بُنَيْ مَنْ كَشَفَ عَنْ حِجَابِ النَّاسِ كَشَفَتْ عَوْرَاتُ بَيْنِهِ. If you disclose and expose people's privacy, people's honor, you go about and speak about it in public, somebody did something wrong, and you go about and publish it. Make it public to the people. You have no regard for this family, for this lady, for this man. You have no regard or respect for them. كَشَفَ عَنْ حِجَابِ النَّاسِ. Removes the veil of a privacy from people's life and people's house. What happens to him? إِنْ كَشَفَتْ عَوْرَاتُ بَيْتِ. He's going to suffer the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to expose his faults and his defects and make them public. Make them public. This is the moral implication of sins. Moral implications of sins. It reaches other people too. When it comes to committing sin, there are two categories when it comes to the results. There are two categories. Sometimes the sin implicates the person himself, meaning the result of this sin does not extend to other people around him. It's limited to the culprits, to the person who committed the sin. So the damage is limited here, only to that person. And sometimes the damage is collateral damage. implicates all the people. Sometimes the entire community suffer because somebody in the community did something wrong. And this is in the heart of the Quran. This is not my theory. This is the heart of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Be aware of this affliction or ordeal, that it is not going to touch you only. It's going to touch everybody else around you. Maybe the entire city is going to suffer because somebody in the city did something wrong. I remember 3 months ago I was standing in the backyard of my house and watching the flames. We had wildfires in California. You heard about it, yes? You live in America, don't you? So I was watching the flames. There were several miles between us and the flames. We did not suffer the fire, but we suffered the implications, the fallout of the fire. The house was filled with ashes, with smoke, although we were too far from the fire. But we could not escape the implication, the fallout. This is what happens. A person comes to Imam al-Sadiq, he says, then where is God's justice? Listen, where is God's justice? If a bad person does something wrong, why the entire community is involved? Why the entire community is suffering today? Where is the divine justice? The Imam answers him. He says, لأنهم رضوا بذلك بفعلهم. Because they endorsed. The rest of the community, they did not participate in the actual crime. But when they received the news, they rejoiced. They said, well done, good, well done. Or at least, they did not say no. They did not express resentment and happiness. They agreed with that culprit. They agreed with him. Do you read the Quran? The Quran says about Thamud. Allah says it was only one person who killed, hamstrung the camel. But Allah attributes the act to the entire community. Why? Because they gave consent. They approved the act. لِأَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا. This is one story. The second story in the Quran, Allah speaks to the Jews during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think the Prophet deserves a louder salawat. Allah addresses the Jews in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says to the Jews, listen, your ancestors, they killed the prophets. وَقَتْلِهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. Whenever we send them a messenger, they either chase him, they belie him, and they kill him. Ultimately, they kill him. Sometimes they would kill 70 messengers in one single day. Yahya alayhi salam was killed by them. Zakariya was killed by them. Many other prophets of Allah were killed. Many other prophets. So Allah addresses the community of the Jews who were around the Prophet. He says, فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Why did you murder the messengers of God if you speak the truth? Although those who killed the messengers, they lived 2,000 years ago. Imagine. Those who committed the murders and killed the prophets, they were not living at that time. They lived 2,000 years before. That Allah addresses the current community. فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Why? Although the previous generation committed the murder, but the next generation, when it came, it approved the act. Therefore, they paid the price. When you approve the act. Another story in the Quran, the story of Cain and Abel in the Quran. We know that the Quran says, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul shall bear the burden of another soul. Meaning, if your father did something wrong, if your sister, your wife, your son, you don't bear any responsibility. They don't charge you. This is the judiciary of God. They don't come to you and charge you with the crime. Allah taziru waziratun wizra ukhra. So when it comes to Qabil and Habil and Adam and Eve, we find something else, that although Allah would not punish you for the crime committed by your father or your neighbor or your son, that you cannot escape the moral and spiritual implication of that crime. I'll give you an example. Imagine a mass murderer today, a hate monger, someone like Osama bin Laden, for instance, a hate monger of the humanity. This person, if his sons come to you today in Dearborn, Michigan, and ask for your daughter's hand, the son of Osama bin Laden, he's a good guy, he goes to Wayne State? And then he comes to you and he says, I'm not living with my father, I am an independent person, I go to school here, I have good income, and I am asking your daughter's hand. Would you say yes to him? Would you say yes or no? Tell me. You say no. Who says yes? Alhamdulillah, we are safe tonight. You say no to him. Why? Because you tell him, I'm sorry, I know you are a nice guy, but the history of your family, the name of your family has been tainted with murder. Because you bear the same last name. I know you personally as a very nice person. I believe in you. But it runs in your family line, in your bloodline. So I am afraid of that. There is a big stigma on that. Sorry, I can't do this. This is the moral implication, my dear brothers and sisters. Therefore, when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Asiyan, disobedience was not in the form of rejection. He did not reject God's order. Listen to this. This is one of the most important differences between Sunni Islam and Shia Islam. We believe in the infallibility of the messengers and the prophets and the imams. In other schools, they do not believe that they are infallible. They believe that a messenger can commit a mistake, a wrong, even a sin. But asiyan here, disobedience, does not mean a sin. It has been interpreted as tarkul awla, an act of negligence. It was good for him to refrain from the tree. Just good for him. God said, listen, you are free. If you stay away from this tree, you're going to enjoy a free load here in paradise. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. Here, there is a free food, free drink, free shelter, free dress. If I send you, if you approach the tree, eat from this tree, you're going to be deported, you go back to the earth, you have to pay mortgage here. You have to pay car insurance here. So you pay the price. So it was an act of negligence. وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Now, this decision of approaching the tree not only affected him, it affected his children and his grandchildren. And the evidence is in the Quran. The moral implication. When Adam was sent out of heaven, there was an act of murder committed by whom? His son was related to him, Cain, Abel. And then after this act of murder, a second murder that took place on earth was by the son of Cain, who killed another man. And then the grandson of Cain killed the third man. And this iniquity kept passing down through the generations after generations of Cain's offspring. This crime was growing and moving forward. Listen to the Quran. Quran says it was in the bloodline of Cain. Not that God imposed on them to kill. God never imposes. Allah never orders a person to do injustice or killing or murder or any act of aggression. No. But when the shaitan offered them this act, they did not say no to him. They did not say no to him. Why? Because it was running in their bloodline. Listen to the Quran. Cain says in the Quran, قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخي فأصبح من النادمين من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. Allah says, because of the aggression of Cain, we ordained on the community of the Israelites, Bani Israel. And remember, between Cain, Qabil, the first murderer, and Bani Israel, there were 6,000 years. 6,000 years. But Allah says, this crime and this aggression kept moving down, generations after generations. And because of Cain's aggression, we ordained on Bani Israel, أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. If a person commits an act of murder with no justice, with no justification, as if he or she have killed the entire humanity. This is an insinuation that any act of murder that takes place on this earth goes back to the first inception of murder by Cain 10,000 years ago. And this act continues until somebody from that family stands and puts a stop to it. This is not the concept of original sin. Original sin is something different. This is the moral fallout, the moral implication, the moral DNA that goes down to our children, to our grandchildren. Be careful of your acts. In whatever capacity you are, if you are a daughter, if you are a mother, if you are a sister, if you are a husband, if you are a father, if you are a community leader, if you are a lay person, whatever capacity you have, be careful of your actions. Be very careful. The actions move forward. Remember, always remember, Isaac Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an opposite, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And this is very true in our moral and spiritual life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good news here, Allah welcomes you all the time. This is why we are here, the guest of Imam Hussein. The reason why today I was discussing with my honorable brother, may Allah bestow on him health. He is not feeling well today, but inshallah he'll join us soon. And for his well-being, say loud salawat. Why the season of Ashura generates so much passion in the hearts of people? Why? He was telling me that never this room gets filled except during the days of Ashura. Why? There is a secret, brothers and sisters. We are seeking God. We are seeking the divine forgiveness, divine mercy, divine blessing. This is how we address Imam Hussein. Ya Baba Najat al-Rahma. Imam Hussein is the gate for the eternal salvation. This is why we are here. To enable us. I wish that Imam Hussein can just give me just a short glance of his mercy. Touches my heart and my soul and my mind during these nights. This is more than enough for me. This is why we are here. To get inspired by Imam Hussein, to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the journey of salvation. Allah never leaves you alone. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'ah. All my servants who have transgressed upon themselves in sins, never be despondent or despair of God's mercy. If you are sincere, God is going to erase all your sins. يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. In the dua, what do we say in the dua? اللهم إن مغفرتك أرجى من عملي. Oh my Lord, your forgiveness is more promising than my deeds. I did nothing, even if I keep worshipping you day and night. Still, إن مغفرتك أرجى من عملي. وإن رحمتك أوسع من ذنبي. Your mercy is going to encompass me, embrace me and my sin and everybody's sins else, every person in this community and elsewhere. Nothing is too much for God's mercy, my brothers and sisters. Nothing is too much for God's mercy and a blessing. Don't say that I did something so heinous, so grave that I think God would never look at me. This is a cardinal sin. ولا تقنط ولا تيأسوا من روح الله لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never feel that you are rejected and wanted and desired by Allah. There is a very beautiful parable in the Bible. I liked it very much. In the Bible, the only time that God runs, starts running, in a metaphoric way, of course, this is a parable, is when he saw someone, a contrite sinner, a repentant, coming towards him, but he was embarrassed. He did so much bad things that he thought God is not going to accept him. And God knows what goes in our hearts and minds. He knows about our intentions. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. So the only time God started running, when he saw this contrite sinner coming towards him, God started running towards him, to embrace him, to tell him, I was waiting for you. The hadith says, when you go back to Allah after committing sin, you shall see Allah waiting for you. Do you know when you wait for someone that you love, you can't stand? It happens to me sometimes, someone important is coming, I can't focus anymore. I'm only waiting for that person. I can't even sit. Allah will stand for you when you go. When you go and tell him, Ilahi, I am sorry. All doors were closed except your door. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. موسى said, إلهي أنت قريب فأناجيك أم بعيد فأناديك. Are you so close to me so I whisper? I don't need to raise my voice. Oh, you are away from me so I can shout and cry. Allah says, يا موسى أنا جليس من ذكرني. Once you remember me, once I am in your heart, you find me next to you. You don't have to stand and move. Going to Mecca is just a metaphor. That does not mean Allah exists in Mecca and Medina and He does not exist in this city. Allah exists everywhere. أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ فَتَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Some people tell me, Sayyid, I can't afford going to Hajj. I really need to go back to Allah. I need to go and apologize to Him. You don't need to go to Hajj. Hajj is a symbol of unity. Allah wants to go to the extra mile. But if you can't afford that, stay at home. Allah comes to your house. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah said, يَبْنَ عِمْرَانِ, offer me from your eyes tears, from your heart reverence, from your body submission, and call me in the middle of the night, you find me near and responding. Call me in the middle of the night. Let's learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even during the night of Ashura, he stood for communion with his Lord. وبات الحسين وأصحابه ليلة العاشر من المحرم وهم ما بين قائم وقاعد وراكع وساجد وتال للقرآن. The final night of their life, they spent it in communion. They never sat there and said, well, let me send an email to my wife and tell him, honey, I'm missing you tonight. They started sending email and instant messages to their Lord, spending that night in the prayers. Let's learn this from Imam Hussein. This is the message of Ashura. This is the message that I want you to take home with you tonight. Go back home with this message. And tomorrow I am going to speak more about repentance, because we all are sinners. And we look forward during these nights. By the end of the day of Ashura, we come back to Allah with the clean records. With the clean records, inshaAllah ta'ala. This should be our goal. That by the end of these sessions, Fatima al-Zahra intercede on your behalf. She stands before Allah. She says, Ilahi, you said in your hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَةَ وَيَغْضَبُ لِغَضَبِهَا. You get happy for my happiness, and you get angry for my anger. Now I am happy with this person. I want you to forgive him. I want you to enable him to go, to reach salvation. This is what we hope and aspire during these holy nights, my dear brothers and sisters. Let me take you back to the last chapter of tonight's lecture. A visit, a short visit with the land of Karbala. It's a beautiful that we conclude with the mentioning of Hussein alayhi salam, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and his companions. Among this vast bundle of flowers, I chose one hero. His name is Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. I mentioned briefly about him last night. Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi was a decorated army commander in the army of Bani Umayyah. He was not on the side of Imam Hussein. But rahmatullah, the mercy of God, the blessing of God touched his heart at the very last minute of his life. Very last minute. When the two armies, they lined against each other on the day of Ashura. An army with several thousands, the army of Bani Umayyah. Another army with only 72 soldiers. And their commander, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They stood there. Al-Hur was one of the army commanders. He had several hundreds or rather thousands of fighters under his command. He stood there, he watched the army of Imam Hussein. He started shaking. One of his colleagues turned to him, Al-Muhajir ibn Aws. He said to him, Ya Hur, ma badalak? What's wrong with you? وَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ عَنْ أَجْجَعِ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ لَمَا عَدَوْتُكَ. If I'm asked about the most courageous military commander in the city, you will be the first one I'll point at you. What happened to you? Why you are shaking? He said, أَيُّهَا الْمُهَاجِرُ ابْنُ عَوْسِ إِنِّي أَرَى نَفْسِي مُخَيَّرَةً بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ وَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. This is a very decisive moment in my life. This is the most critical moment of my life. I see myself swinging and swaying between hell and heaven. Between hell and heaven. Either to fall on this side or that side. It's a matter of minutes, no more. This battle of Ashura will take only 3 or 4 hours. At the end, either I am on this side or that side. And by God, nothing will come between me and paradise. وَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَخْتَارُ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ شَيْئًا. Then he decided to join the camp of Imam Hussein. Halfway through, when he was walking towards the camp of Imam Hussein, riding his horse, خَشَعَتْ نَفْسُهُ. His heart broke. Tears started rolling. He turned to Allah. He said, إِلَهِ اغْفِرْ لِي فَلَقَدْ أَرْعَبْتُ قُلُوبَ أَوْلِيَائِكَ وَأَبْنَاء إِبْنَةِ نَبِيِّكَ. Oh my Lord, oh my Master, forgive me. I did something very hideous. Something too bad, very disgraceful and shameful. I instigated fear in the hearts of the family of your messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the first sign that he's going to be safe, he's going to be okay. When the heart is broken, when you become remorseful, this is a major sign that Allah will accept you. Allah will embrace you. Allah would never reject you. And he started moving towards Imam Hussein. When he arrived, Imam Hussein was sitting. He greeted the Imam. He said to him, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Imam answered him, "Wa alayka salam, man ant? Can you introduce yourself?" Imam knows him, of course. He knows him very well. Only 8 days ago, they were debating. Only 8 days ago, on the second day of Muharram, he intercepted the caravan of Imam Hussein. Imam knows him very well, but this is a lesson. "Man ant? Introduce yourself." He did not say, "Oh Imam, I am the most decorated army commander, I am the bravest man." He confessed his sin. And this is the manner of tawbah. When you go to Allah, don't tell him, "Ilahi, I am the most noble man in Dearborn, but somehow shaitan deceived me, so I want you just to forgive me." Don't say this. Confess your sin. He said, "Sayyidi, ana sahibuka alladhi mana'tuka 'an at-tariq." I am your friend. I am the one who intercepted you only 8 days ago. "Waja'ja'tuk bika wa bi ahlika ila hadha al-makan." And I forced you to come with your kids, with your companions and family members to this land here. "Fahal tara li min tawba?" I confess my sin to you. But do you think that God is going to forgive me and grant me saving and salvation or not? Imam immediately, Imam does not hold any grudges in his heart. "Ya Baba, najat al-Ummah." He is the son of Rasulullah, and Allah describes the Prophet, "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ." We sent this messenger as his family members and his kids and his grandchildren as a mercy and a blessing. Imam immediately said to him, "نعم إن تبت تاب الله عليك." If you are sincere in your repentance, God will accept you. "فنزل." Imam invited him to come. He said, "فنزل, come with us, join us." He said, "يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I apologize to you. Since you accepted my repentance, since you forgave me, now the next step, I don't want to delay myself. I don't want to commit any more sins. I want you to give me permission to go and fight and defend Islam, defend your grandfather, defend this religion and defend you. I do not want to instigate a new sin in my life. Give me permission. أَنَا لَكَ رَاجِلًا خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي نَازِلًا but وَإِلَى النُّزُولِ يَكُونُ آخِرُ أَمْرِي." In a few minutes, yes, I will descend, but as a martyr, as an honorable person. And this is what happened. He went to the battlefield. Ya Mu'mineen, Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave him permission. He penetrated through the ranks of Bani Umayyah army. And suddenly, while Imam Hussein was standing there, Imam heard a loud cry, "Aba Abdullah, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." The voice of this man, Hur, reached the Imam among thousands of fighters. "O Aba Abdullah, peace and greeting be upon you. Adrikni, I need your help now. And we, brothers and sisters, we hope, inshallah, that Aba Abdullah and his mother Fatima al-Zahra, they will come to our aid at the last minute of our life, at the moment of death. They will come to our assistance and aid, inshallah." Imam Hussein rushed to him. He went to him. He stood there. He said, "Abshir ya Hur, Abshir ya Hur, rejoice Hur, rejoice ya Hur, fama akhta'at ummuka idh sammatka hurran fa anta hurran fi ad-dunya wa sa'idun fi al-akhirah." Your noble mother was never wrong when she called you and named you a free man, Hur. Indeed, you were a free man in this life and very jubilant and happy man and fortunate man in the hereafter. After that, a while, when the battle ended, the tribe of the Hur, Umar ibn Sa'd ordered his army to come and trample on the body of Imam Hussein and his companions with their horses. Ya khayl Allah irkabi wa bil jannati abshiri. They came, the tribe of Al-Hur, Bani Riyah, they came and they said, wallah, we would never allow our deen, our leader, Al-Hur, to be trampled upon by the horses. They took his body, took him out of the battlefield, they took him to a burial site where you go today to Karbala. He has a special burial site. Ya Mu'mineen, Ya Mu'azzin, the only bodies that remained on the soil of Karbala was the body of Imam Hussein, the decapitated body of Imam Hussein and his family members. Let me just explain to you the way his sister Zainab addressed him. Sister Zainab came after that when she saw the decapitated body of her brother. She started apologizing to him. She said, my dear brother, a wounded soldier, when he falls down, his aide and his family members and his brothers are going to rush to him, surround him, protect him, try to save his life. They offer him first aid, they offer him a drink. But I am very shameful that I could not do this to you, Ya Aba Abdullah. Oh, Ya Min Adat Al Yaqa Bil Akwan. Min Adat Al Yaqa Bil Akwan. ويصير لنا الشاب نشاب تشد اخوته وتدفع الجيمان يحولون له بخطة الميدان يسقوه يسقوه ما ينشان عطشان عطشان انا شاتبر عندك مالي انسان انا شاتبر عندك مالي انسان طلعنا لك من الخيم نسوان ودعتك الله يا عيوني انا يردون عنك ياخذوني الشمر وخول اللي يبعروني انا اخوات اخوتي وما جاوبوني انا انخات اخوتي وما جاوبوني يا اهل الحمية ما تجوني من اجل اعاد تخلصوني نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Please raise your hands. This is a solemn moment of prayers and supplication, invocation and dua. This is the moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays extra attention to your thoughts and to your prayers and to your minds. And there are many people who are distressed. They send this call of distress to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they asking us to remember them during these holy nights and these sessions. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'a. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'a. Amman yujibu al-muttarra idha da'ahu ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله اكشف السوء عنا اللهم فرج عن كل مظلوم اللهم شافي كل مريض المرضى المنظورين في المستشفيات in the hospitals some of them are in the hospitals some of them are at home they urgently asking you to remember them in your hearts during these holy nights اللهم من عليهم بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات